Hello and welcome to the Be Cray podcast, episode 2 of season 2, here with my good friend Leon LeGray. Leon is a Twitch streamer, he is also a podcaster and an all-around technological whiz, you could say. Leon, welcome to the podcast, man.
Oh, hey, thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you're a Twitch streamer, you do your own podcasts. Yes. And obviously, you know quite a lot about technological stuff.
Yes.
Explain to the podcast listeners a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Well, I built my own hardware. All that is just goes on my own. So that's what I do if I have tons of free time and built. But everything I podcast about technology, it's pretty much a solo podcast that talks about what's going on the weekly in a weekly basis. And to me, I love the fact that as a solo podcaster, I could just have the freedom to talk about things that's going on in that tech niche right there, which I think it's great to talk about these things and give the audience an education of what's going on the world, like the world of computers, operating systems like Windows, Macs, Linux, all that too, because I think at the end of the day, I love to just give a lot of insights, education, and what's going on too. And, you know, there's always something new out there for people to listen to too. And so for me, I like to spread not just offline podcasting. At some point, I'd love to bring my podcast live via the video, because I think everybody wants to see the full authenticity. And that's why I figured I'd bring it up on Twitch, because, you know, there's podcasters on Twitch, but I wanted to expand it more going through it as well. And now with the blog. Now the blog, I love writing. I've been writing since my high school, the years of high school, and I've always enjoyed just writing things on text. And the reason I decided I wanted to blog, because I just love that. Talking about myself personally and just giving things out there to people, like information on the go as well too. And now the blogs and the podcast are a little bit different, because with blogs, I love to share what's going on in the world of technology. Like, for instance, like if new hardware comes in, I just write about it and just type it in on text, because I think it's just very convenient. Yep. But either way, I love blogging, and I've been blogging since the early days. I would say my late teens, like 2008. But I decided I wanted to continue on with blogging. But my very first blog, however, it was on a different name, so it was not like Leon LeGray, because Leon LeGray just came up very late in the 2010s. Okay. So yeah. So, I decided to keep Leon LeGray because I loved the name, and it's something that kind of hit me. It struck me as like, hey, you know, this is the perfect identity. I just want to do it right there too.
No, and, absolutely. It's a name that definitely rolls off the tongue, and it's also memorable, which is very good. And like you say, you know, with blogging, it's a good creative output, especially like for you to be able to not note down the things that you want to speak about.
Absolutely too. And I started writing during back when everybody was going on blogger.com. If anyone doesn't know Blogger, I mean, it's an old platform that's pretty much by Google. And
okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I've been writing since the days of the MySpace days too. So yeah, it's incredible, because I didn't think I was going to keep up blogging. And then from there, I expanded up to podcasts, because I enjoyed podcasts since the early days of podcasts, when podcasts came out around 2000. It first came out in 2005, but I didn't get to know how podcasting worked on all when since 2006. So you can tell it's pretty old school too. But, you know, but then again, podcasting, it's just another platform for audio, and it's just an alternative for radio, because a lot of people wanted to see some alternatives, and thank God we have something fresh like that.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. And like you say, when you're sort of describing your solo podcasting, speaking about technology and, you know, all things about computers and the like of that, mm-hmm. you have that freedom to really speak on what you want to speak about. And mm-hmm. the lovely thing about podcasts is obviously traditional radio is fantastic. We all love it. But they all have their own set agendas. They have the beats they have to hit, and they speak about the things that they need to speak about, or what other people specifically would expect them to. Whereas with podcasts, you can find people talking about anything that you're interested about.
Right, exactly, too. You know, and that's the beauty about the two things between in traditional radio and podcasting. It's just different because one, with radio, I noticed back in those days, like it's still into this today, that it's so filtered, and you don't. And of course, whenever you're going to have a conversation with someone live on the radio, that's the problem with that, is that you've got to really keep it clean, as I call it right there. And the thing about it right there is that you have to stick to the flow and stick with a very corporatized a monologue, what you expect to say. And that's the thing about it too, is that radio doesn't get the very much of the outlet freedom, though, even though we all like radio in many capacities. I think it's great too. Now, unless if you're in with the big guys with XM radio, that I think that's great. But however, too, not everybody makes it to XM radio. And I do think that model, it's still here to stay, but I think the model is just changing so fast too. I think it's going to the course of a dying, of a dying breed, as I could probably say that too. I
guess people want to express their creativity, don't they? They want to be able to speak out on the things that they want. And I feel like a lot of consumers gravitate to podcasts because of the personalities of the people who are there speaking on things, rather than seeming like you're talking to a corporation.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it too, because I loved it about podcasts when it first came around. Like, and I remember I was just a freaking teenager back then. And my first podcast that I listened to, they no longer make episodes anymore. The host moved out a long time ago, and it was called Dig Nation. And they've always bring up stories from one of the guys' websites, and they talk about strange and interesting articles. And the guy that ran the Dig .com was Kevin Rose. He was a television host at one point in an American television television station that talked about technology. But when he saw podcasting and how things were just moving up ahead too, you know, and the thing about it is that yes, you can make money on television even back in those days in the 2000s, which, wow, I think that's still good. That was still good back in those days too, because a lot of people were still subscribed to cable. But he saw it early on that things were just going to shift in so fast, and I thought, wow, he's absolutely right.
He was very much a trailblazer in that field.
That trailblazer, yes, absolutely. You know, and the thing about it was that when he left television around 2005, one of the comments of his family, and I think in early interviews that they said, that man, you're making all this money in cable television. Are you crazy to leave G4? I mean, come on now. You're making why would you do that? You're making like six figures. That's insane. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's already brought up another startup company, and there was a lot of people that signed up with Dig.com, DIWG, by the way, and which is still running into this day. And I'm sure that he's already made enough money while running that website too, and so he has no issues with that too. And I still follow the guy here and there too, but not always. But when I heard this podcast, and this podcast ran from 2005 all the way through 2011, so he ran that podcast for a very long time too. So that's dedication.
it's very admirable to move yourself out of a traditional field of working where he's very comfortable, he's making a good bit of money, but he's going to say, no, I want to do something that will make it will make me feel creative and make me happy. And right. I think that's something that's very nice.
Right, exactly. And especially with people out there too, they can say whatever they want. They're not restricted. In fact, you know, what funny thing is, when my dad was still around, he never heard of the word podcasting. And this was a couple years ago, like 2017. And,
right, okay.
And yeah, 2017. And one of the podcasts I brought up was in the car, Joe Rogan Experience. And my dad was
right.
Holy cow, man, these guys are just cursing out too. But yeah, it's like, well, you know, that's podcasting, Dad.
yeah, that complete freedom to sort of mold a show around yourself. I mean, you know, if you look at Joe Rogan, he has the biggest podcast in the world. And it's a very good podcast, I would say.
Yeah, and, you know, now he's in Spotify. In fact, he's still doing incredibly well. I have a premium trial, I believe for 3 months all the way till September, and I started around early summer, and right, I still listen to Joe Rogan all the time too, and I'm glad he has content. He brings people like all over the spectrum, which I think it's great to bring other people's in different out view, which I think it is pretty sweet to get other people's perspective like that too. And also one of the podcasts, just to mention the show if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
But one of the things that struck me, and in fact, a lot of people don't talk about this young woman, and there was a North Korean defector. And when I listened,
I know the exact podcast you're on about, I believe.
Yeah, it was one of the episodes. It was a few days ago. Yomi Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, wow. So this woman's come from a story. It was just very
her story was very powerful, very powerful. Very sad.
Yeah, I've heard about her back in 2011. You know, and I figured right. that she would have gone to help with the UN, but I think all of us know that how corrupt the UN is and what they're not doing anything to help out with people over, like, and defectors like her too. Yeah,
and a little bit of context for the podcast listeners as well. I won't go on too much about the details because you should definitely check it out yourself.
Definitely.
But this is a North Korean woman who smuggled herself out of the country mm-hmm. with human traffickers, essentially. Yes. went to China and received some absolutely horrendous treatment, even to the point of wanting to go back to North Korea. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, she was able to, I believe, was it, did she go to Canada first or was it to America?
So from North Korea to China, and then she, from China, she went through South Korea, then from South Korea through the US, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
So yes, it's an incredible story and it's definitely one that you should check out. Going away from the podcasting side of things, talk to us more about your Twitch channel.
Well, whenever I'm not talking about technology, which to me, I think technology is great, but I think I give myself the outlook to talk about, give myself time to game, and which to me, I've always loved video games too. And that's one thing Archie is something I love to do that too. And I've been Twitch streaming. In fact, I've had the account since the Justin TV days. And
okay,
I never got around to becoming this big guy because I wasn't like very very active. I wish I did back in the early days of Justin TV, but ever since like mid 2010s, I got active. And I think it just struck to me, it's like, you know what, I'm gonna push myself into being a partner. Of course, back then wasn't something like affiliate wasn't a big thing back then too. Of course, you really had to push yourself really really hard. Like, of course, you got the OGs like Kitty Plays, and I think Disrespect was one of the OGs as well.
So
I think, and then the other one, Jump Summit.
Summit 1G.
There we go. Summit 1G. Yeah. And and there was one of the guys that said, "Wow, you know what? I like to be one of those guys.
I want to do something just like they do. Yeah,
they do too as well. But
which is fascinating when you look at them both, because although both of them are now older guys, they're still just as, if not even more, famous than they were back then.
Yes,
which is really incredible.
It is.
But Twitch streaming, especially gaming, is definitely something that's really good, I'd say, for people's mental health. Mm-hmm. It's good to sort of game by yourself anyway if you want to, but especially when you stream, because you can have people come in and have conversations, and it's just nice to sort of take your mind off the world.
Yeah, for real. And I do like to, that's something I'd love to expand on one of these days, like probably like do a weekly podcast once a week on Wednesdays and see where that goes. Yeah. And so that's what I would love. I just love to do so. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cool. To move on, let's take it a step back.
Sure.
And let's talk about your childhood and earlier life. Mm-hmm. So whereabouts did you grow up?
So I've, let's see here. I've started in the surf in New Jersey, but I didn't stay long in New Jersey. So I grew up mostly down in the South, in South Florida. I have to say though, South Florida, it was very, it's always hot. I love the fact of the beaches. I think the beaches are great too.
Yeah,
but the weather in South Florida never changes.
It's always absolutely scorching.
Yeah, yeah. But the one thing about Florida, I could say at least good during the winters, I can say is that it does cool down a bit too, and that's great. It's okay, and I think it is good too, because I liked about the South, at least the South states, at least you can go to the beaches if you're getting sick of the cold, and I think it's great and all too. But that's something, as far as living over there, the living isn't too bad too. But I do think that the northern states they've gone pretty expensive too. But I mean, so has Florida too. But depends on where you can find a home. There are still good affordable homes that anybody can find. But getting back to my childhood too. But I did enjoy the childhood in South Florida, but I lived most of my teenage years over in over in Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, and I still live in Georgia to this day. In fact, I will say that, how long has it been?
The Peach State.
The Peach State. Yes, the Peach State. Yeah. So yeah, I've been living here for now. By next year, it'll be 20 years. Over here. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So I know the places, the South Metro places here, in my opinion, I think after growing here, growing up in the Peach State for like 20 years, I've seen what's changed, and I've seen the details of what's become for sure too. There's been good changes, some not good changes, but you know, it's just like any other place that you can find in the U.S. too. But my childhood, my teenage years wasn't too bad too. The only reason I ended up leaving Florida at a young age at the time, because because my mom's work, and she was working with the airline industry at the time, and the fact that they were took off all the call centers down in Miami and moved them back to Atlanta, and so that's what happened. It was just a change of jobs.
You had to relocate because of a change of job.
Yeah, at the time too. So because my
mom, how was that for you? Was it a big change in your life?
Yes, it was.
Did it take you a while to adjust?
It did. It took me about a year and a half living over here. One thing I can say about the culture in South Florida, it is very different, especially because the thing about South Florida is that it's very Latinesque light. And thing about it is that, right, you know, when you get down to Florida, it's the culture is very Latin. You see tons of Cubans, Guatemalans, Puerto Ricans, everything. It's very diverse down there too. Yeah, just a diverse Latin community down this in the South Side too. Not to say that there aren't anyone else's for sure too, but Florida does have tons of Europeans, retired Europeans, I would say, that lives down over there too, and they've loved going into purchasing big homes, which is amazing. And
yeah, there's a lot of people move to Florida when they retire too,
especially the snowbirds. And now, like with the pandemic now, what I've understand, it's a lot of people are just getting away from the northern states because of the stricter laws now. And so now everyone almost have their eyes on the south states like Georgia and Florida, which is quite insane now. Yeah. And in Georgia, you know, it was such a different time back then too, because it was when I moved from Georgia to Florida, which I have to say though, the drive from South Florida to Georgia was a 12-hour drive, and I remember to this day.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and it was a car drive, and I would not forget it one bit too. And I remember my mom was still asleep, and the thing is though, my mom had to get up there as soon as possible so she can make the move. And my mom, when my mom was so tired, she's like, "Hey, Luke, can you put some music on? I'm getting really tired now. Like, can you find some good music so I can get up?" And my mom was like, "One driving," and apparently, so I found some like death metal music. She's like, "Change that shit now."
Yeah. That's a bit too crazy.
That's a bit too crazy too. Yeah. And that was on like. Fantastic. Yeah, that was all, like on FM radio, and that's how I discovered metal the very first time on a road trip too. Throughout the evening.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah. It was cool to find like a very heavy music on an FM radio, and I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it too. Oh my goodness!
Well, I'd say that would definitely keep her awake.
That would keep her awake too, but I said. And that was not her type of music. Her music was like disco, R&B. So I'm like, I just couldn't find anything on the radio while we're driving up north, you know. So yeah.
So without prying too much, you make the move to Atlanta.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What age are you at this point?
I was at that point. I just turned like at the time of 2000. I remember. So it was the summer of 2002. I really just turned 13 years old, teenager. So it was pretty much the four of us. It was grandmother, I, my brother, and my mom at the time. Yeah, so okay. I was 13. My mom, she was like, God knows. I think it was like early 40s, I believe. And then my grandma was still alive at the time during the move too. It was just tiring move at that time. And I remember when we got over there, we got there around the early AMs. We're talking about like 2 8.
I bet that must have been very strenuous, especially the 12 hours in the car. But so you're there in Georgia now, you're 13. Mm-hmm. Would you be going to middle school or high school?
Middle school. So yeah, middle school.
How did you find that?
Oh, let's see here. Well, how did I find what do you mean? Middle school?
Yeah, so what I mean is, how did that go for you? Was it a good experience? Was there any issues you faced? How did you get past those issues?
Well, I had to learn the southern culture and the things what they're saying, you know. The funny thing about with the dialects there is like it's the Georgian the southern accents, it's very thick, and I had to get used to how they spoke and how what they were saying too, and just the things that they've and that was one of the challenge for me too, was just that their their slang. You know, I'm just like, what did, I'm sorry, what did you say? What, yeah. Right? And that was the thing about their dialect, is they're so, so thick. But of course, they did teach us proper English, because you're not supposed to like take this in the workforce when you're in your adult years, by the time you get out of school, which is good. I mean, of course, but I remember that the education system in Georgia, you know, it hasn't improved since, but I remember I had to find my way around. And the cool thing about it back then, I remember, like, I didn't have to wear a uniform. While when I was leaving elementary at the time, I had to wear a uniform because it was quite formal in South Florida, in those public schools down there too. Right. While in the public schools, it's just very casual. You just go in middle and high school, in the dress up was just very, very casual. And I was like, wow, so I don't have to wear this white shirt and blue jeans all the time. Yeah, which is great.
You could just wear whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly too. And it was a very different experience. Like thing about with Georgia was, it was diverse in its own way. There, of course, tons of southern white dudes. It was pretty much a mix between whites and blacks, and they had some Latins too. But it slowly changed over time to when a lot of people ended up coming to the state of Georgia later on those years, around the late 2000s. And that's why I've noticed a lot of people in a lot of diversity coming in forward too. So it was different. I remember the first time when I moved, my mom moved into an apartment over there, to an apartment home. And that's where my mom could only afford back then too. And that's what I've remembered there too. It was okay. I remember living there. We lived there for about 1 year in that apartment home. And then from that point, my mom had to end up finding another home because she wanted to find a bigger place for the four of us living there.
They needed something a little bit more adequate.
Adequate, right. Yeah. And that was one thing about the childhood, was the move. Even though for me, nobody enjoys moving, but you know, you have to do things in order to stay on top, pay the bills, take care of your kids. You know, that's what my mom did. She did things that she had to do.
You can look back on when you're older and realize, wow, okay, that was a sacrifice we had to make to survive.
Exactly too. And even like this day, like I have to do things and help myself too. You know, you got bills, you have hospital bills, you got to dental for two boys, me and my younger brother, all that too. So that was one of the things that came about as well. While my dad, the other hand, while he was still around, he paid off child support, which is it's very difficult. And having to be a divorce, pretty much a young man at the time with two parents separated apart, which it was not easy. I'll say that too, but no, you know, it was not easy, because I remember divorce was pretty hard. And I remember the first time I heard my parents fight, it was back when I was living in the house back in South Florida. I remember there was a huge fight back when my parents were young. In fact, my mom had to separate my dad for a reason, because of money issues, and my dad wasn't taking care of things the way he needed to, and the divorce was needed because the fact that my dad screwed up too, and that's the truth back then too. I had a difficult time during the divorce, but now I think about it too, I think things do heal over time.
Absolutely.
Healed over time. And that's one thing when you
like you say, at that time they were both also very young.
Yes.
And you know, life isn't easy, and there's a lot of things that happen, but no, it does seem like, you know, it's brilliant to see where you are now, considering a lot of the hardships that you had.
Yeah.
Without
that, you know, that's one thing, you've got without the hardships, you have to experience tons of hardships
to grow. Absolutely.
you have to. And that's one thing about it too, is like, look, I was separated for my dad a long time, but did I get to go back and forth to see my dad all the time? Absolutely. You know, my mom, she worked, she didn't expect to work in the airline industry. And I've always flown domestic back and forth between Georgia State to Florida. So I can see my dad over the week when my school in middle school had a, what you call it, like a break, what you call it, like spring breaks or summer breaks. Yeah. I'll end up coming back to see my dad all the time too, because my dad would always take us to the beaches and all that stuff too. So, and that was one thing
that's,
too.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah. So I had some good experiences and had not some good experiences back then too. So that was one of the things I would say of my childhood. It was kind of a mixed things too. And that was part about growing up during my childhood right there too. And I've always questioned how things would have worked if my parents were still together and stuff like that too. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it really doesn't matter, because, you know, that's how I think tough times bring in, how can I put it? Tough times bring in strong men at this point, you know, because, you know, that's what kept me strong with the separation, the divorce at that point.
Absolutely. You know, tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Tough people do. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, you can look back on it and you can feel some sense of regret, or, you know, everyone always lives in hindsight to really think, how could this have gone differently if this happened? But we need to be appreciative of where we are now, and that everything that has happened has led us to this point, and we're stronger because of it. That's fantastic, though. Thank you very much for being so open about that.
No problem.
So you're there in Georgia, you've done middle school, you go to high school, not sure, did you ever go to college?
No, I never have.
Mm-mm. Didn't go to college, but no. It was in these years where you grew your passion for technology and specifically for gaming. So let's speak about gaming, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
So very, very hard question, and I will not be upset if you can't answer it. But okay. What would you say is your favorite game ever?
Oh, that's actually a good one. I had a GameCube back then, and I would say Resident Evil 4 was my favorite.
Brilliant choice. Absolutely fantastic game.
Yeah, I loved it.
Leon Kennedy as well. Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. That's why you see that my first name, Leon, and that's one of the reasons I said, you know, that's why I'm going to call my name, and because of the character. Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leon Kennedy is definitely the best Resident Evil character. And if anyone does disagree, you're wrong.
Right. Exactly. I loved the game. It was my very first, my very, very first Resident Evil game. So I never got to play the PlayStation at the time, or when the PlayStation was out, but I did receive the PlayStation, the PlayStation 2. It was actually one of my gifts back then. It was back in middle school. My dad purchased it, and I was just like, it was back in Christmas Day, I remember. Yeah, it was
nice surprise.
It was such a nice surprise, yeah, because you know, me and my brother, we were both in the Nintendo console realm, and we didn't play any other consoles at that time. So, except for Dreamcast, excuse me, let me take that back. Except for Dreamcast, when my cousins had the Dreamcast too back then too. I remember playing Marvel versus Capcom, but that was one of the things I remember.
it makes me so sad, because mm-hmm. when you look back, maybe even just 15 years ago, yes. You would see these gaming conventions and big expos where you would have a big sign for Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, and there'd be signs for Dreamcast.
And you, Sega,
see,
right?
you see a lot of younger people now. You say, oh, about the Dreamcast, they're like, what's that? It's so sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. No, but like the Gen Zers and the millennials, like my age, they don't even know about Dreamcast. They're like, holy cow, man, I can't believe you guys don't remember.
Yeah, because back then, Sega were the real deal.
It was. I remember one of my dad's side of the family, one of my cousins, he was young back then too, and he remember his story was that he came back, he came all the way from Cuba, and I remember at the time, so my cousin was young, probably in his 20s or something like that, or late 20s I would say, and I remember Sega Saturn. I remember Sega Saturn.
That's yeah, it, yeah. The Saturn.
Yes. Yeah, and I remember Sonic was a huge deal, and I was like, wow, I can't believe this. Sonic the Hedgehog. I love this game now too. It was it was fast. It was just very different. Yeah. Yeah.
And also can't forget the Sega Genesis as well.
The Sega Genesis too. I remember the cartridge. It was a very big deal. I remember the Genesis, what my cousin had to. It was a huge. Sega was like on top of the world. Like honestly though, I didn't even know what I would be if it wasn't for the introduction of the Sega consoles back then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So to speak a little bit more on Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
Like, did you actually no? We'll forget about Resident Evil 4 now because we did actually sort of speak on that.
Yeah.
But just like gaming in general,
mm-hmm.
You speak about gaming with your brother.
Yes.
Did you continue gaming a lot through your younger years and into your teens?
I did as well. Because I've had a lot of time in my teens. I would say for the most part, my brother had so much free time because he always handled the consoles, and the thing about it with sharing a console, it was not fun back then too. It's just not
always trying to get a turn, and then there's always going to be an argument.
Right. Exactly. And I remember I was very good at in my younger years. Well, I remember my brother back then nothing against my brother. I love him too, but he was spoiled. He was so damn spoiled. He was so spoiled as a child.
The younger child always is.
Yes. You couldn't believe Archie how spoiled he was back then. I remember when we lived in an old apartment in Florida. It was in Hialeah, Florida. It was pretty much very close to Miami. And it was just this small city. But and I remember my brother didn't do good and his work in elementary, and my mom punished my brother. He says he was just grounded. He's not gonna be watching TV for about over the weekend. Yeah. And he just got so mad, and you know, I said, you know what, I'm gonna just take the time to watch something. And I grabbed one of the VHS tapes for Kindergarten Cop, and I said, you know, I'm just gonna watch this while he's not looking. Yeah, because it was brilliant. So fun. It was brilliant too, you know, like I just got to watch something. And I remember my brother caught me. I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like, "What the hell? He's watching a movie."
This isn't fair.
This isn't fair. I was like, "No, Jimmy, you're punished. You know what? You're not. I'm telling you now. You're not to watch anything. Okay? Look, you got yourself in trouble. You've done this right there too. So again, he was just like one. This younger kids like just wouldn't pay attention. I swear though. There's a point like with when it comes to siblings, it was just something. It's difficult because my brother. I think about it when my younger years when he had the console, he did play it as well. I played the N64 when I was younger, but
that was my first ever console.
N64, nice.
Yeah.
That was one thing about siblings, like when they had the hands on the freaking thing, I was like, I'm thinking. I'm not gonna fight him. Forget it. Let him play it. Otherwise he's gonna complain and all that shit. You know, I'm just not gonna do it. And I remember my younger years. My dad. I remember my dad would take us all the time. Around the Hialeah area. And I remember my younger cousin. That was in my dad's side too. And I remember he had a Game Boy Color. And my brother was playing. Yeah. So he had a Pokemon game. There we go. Pokemon Red. And so he, my brother was so hooked on it to the game too. And I wasn't like one of the childs. I ended up playing it too. I wanted to play Red. Quite honestly, though, my brother was very, very difficult to handle too. And I told my brother, hey, can you stop playing that, please? I just want to just play it, you know? So I try to work out with things like that too with my brother. But at least I will say that my childhood, I did get to play some of the games while he was not had his mind attended on it too, which was great. And I got to play Red, Blue. I don't think I played Yellow at the time too, because I was like, my mom, there was a kind of a buying limit with games, which was,
yeah, absolutely.
You couldn't, yeah, there was just no way. My mom, even Game Boy games back then was like very expensive, which it was like $50 US dollars a pop, which it's still pretty expensive to purchase for your kids, which is understandable. And you don't want to be spending so much for your young ones too, especially when my mom is trying to take care the three of us, a grandma and two kids, you know. So it's like, of course, you never want to spoil your kids. And nowadays with parents nowadays, I remember, and here's one thing, Archie, I remember was, I've gone through Thanksgiving and holiday gatherings for a couple years now with one of my mom's friends, and holy shit, the parents I've been seeing, they've had iPads now, and
yeah.
It's just like, what the hell? iPads,
kids,
iPhones.
Kids these days are very lucky.
They are.
They definitely are.
Like, I'm like, I never had iPads when I was growing up. I'm like, you little munchkins, I swear, what have they done to you?
Yeah, it's like back in the day when I would have been a kid, you know, you'd be more excited to go outside and like play in the mud.
Yeah.
Be something with nature. Whereas you see a lot of children now, even like 2 years old, playing on phones and on tablets. And
yeah. Which is not healthy.
It is quite scary, to be honest.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think when I do become a parent one of these days, Arch, I think that's there's a point that there has to be a limit. I don't think I'll ever give my kids by the age of two. I think I'll end up waiting on probably when they turn eight or something, you know. That's kind of the thing about it.
That's probably about the same as my mind as well.
Yeah.
So. But okay, you know, you tried to game when you could. Your brother might have been a little bit more more, what would be the word?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of it. But he would play it a lot more than you. You wouldn't get the opportunity to always be playing.
Yeah.
But obviously, later on in life, and you know, to this point now, you're able to really play whatever you want, and you know, you have a lot of games that you like, and I know that I've definitely seen you stream things like Fahrenheit and games like Path of Exile.
You got it, yeah.
But in terms of games that are coming out soon, is there anything that you're excited about?
Let's see here. So now I've focused on my time with PC gaming. I love PC gaming. I have nothing against the console stuff, but I think games have just gotten to a point with consoles that have gone too expensive. But
I completely agree with you there.
And you know, when I've heard of the Final Fantasy VII remake, for the PlayStation 5, by the way, I remember the price tag on it for $70 was just like, oh hell no, I would not get that kind of game.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think $45 or $50 were acceptable at the time, I remember.
And even that was quite expensive.
Still, it was quite expensive, but it was still, for me, the price was kind of acceptable during the time. But then now I think of gaming, it's more of a luxury than it is of a, as a want. What do you call it? It is not a need. It's more of a want. I forgot the word to put it this way.
Supply and demand.
There's a supply and demand. Right. And to me, I'm better off waiting until prices come down instead of rushing to what's new in the market. And for me, there's something I've always learned when my dad was around about price. And I've always said, he said to me, it's like, you know, things are getting way too expensive, Luke. You know, there's just so much that you can just take, and And even I've had to think about what I wanted to do and what I do with my future and stuff like that too. But especially with new titles, I think what I am excited for. So just get into your question. I would say the Life is Strange Remastered. That's one of the games I am looking forward to. Great choice. It's not that expensive too. It's like $39.99, which is like $40 US. And I'm really very excited for that too. Though I don't think I'm going to jump on the True Color bandwagon yet. And I'm just going to wait out probably until Christmas time when prices do drop out around the fall. So, which I don't mind waiting on, honestly, because I've been very conscientious how I'm spending and stuff like that too. Especially, and now you got so many free titles now, which is awesome. You know, like you don't have to spend too much as well too. I mean, the only thing you could do is for gaming is support developers by microtransaction, which is one of the things that's how they're making money nowadays is microtransactions.
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially with games like Fortnite, and you know, a lot of the times when the kids want a new skin and they just take their parents' credit card and spend a few thousand dollars, you know,
yeah,
like it's nothing,
but
absolutely, it's been an interesting change, the microtransaction model.
Yeah,
I did a mini documentary about it. And you know, I still don't really know where I stand on it. I think I do believe it is very predatory.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that a lot of the games with the microtransactions, it's not even as much about the skins, it's more about the in-game mechanics. Big flashing lights, a chest opening. So I do think it can be very addictive for people. But at the same time, I do also purchase in-game items. I also do make microtransactions because there's a lot of things in the games that I also like. So I can see it from both sides. To your point on Life is Strange, what a game. Fantastic story. I'm a big fan of those almost playable movies. You got the games, you know, such as the Telltale games, The Walking Dead. The Wolf Among Us is one I'd definitely recommend you to try if you never have. Yeah, Leon, definitely play The Wolf Among Us.
I'll write it down. The Wolf Among Us. I will.
The Wolf Among Us. It is fantastic. Very similar style to how Life is Strange is, but obviously just a different story.
Nice.
And you know, you see a lot of those games coming out nowadays.
You do. It is, and that's one thing about it too. Like, if you're not the kind of person that wants to get into the intense arena matches, and if you're just in for a good story, I think that's perfect for gamers like you and I that wants to just go through the motion of a movie tell, like, you know, which I think it's great. I've always enjoyed movies when I was younger, and it's something that would just hit to me is like, hey, wow, this is amazing. I like the cinematics. You could choose your own adventure.
It's literally a playable movie.
Playable movie.
And you know, especially if you think about something like Life is Strange, the story is extremely poignant and very emotional, and it hits a lot of very interesting socio-political things, which I think a lot of people maybe might need to see. So
yes,
it's definitely a game that I guess we could both recommend to people. But what a fantastic segue to speak about films and television.
Yes. For sure.
So, apart from the playable films, like such games as Life is Strange and The Wolf Among Us, what would you consider to be your favorite film and your favorite TV show?
Awesome. Favorite film, or let's see here. So growing up, going back to my childhood, I got introduced to anime later on. I would say in middle school, during a group of kids that got into anime, back in middle school, and I got to discover it during the early years of the internet. So animation was something I checked out. In fact, even this anime wouldn't be made today. Elvin Lied. And,
yes, I know the one.
Elvin Lied, and I can't believe I got into this early on. Helsing. It was,
yes, Helsing Chronicles.
Yeah, I love the series. I think actually, believe it or not, Helsing was introduced back in high school, so there was more exposure of the anime, the scene back in 2005-2006. That's when I got into high school, and I got into animation, which I enjoyed too. But gosh, there were so many animation that was just popping left to right. So it was just a lot going on. I think one of my favorite anime, I would say, that comes in mind was Bleach. I would say Bleach. Yeah.
Bleach is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I think it's for anyone that's starting out with Bleach. It does take time to get into it too. And I remember I remember a guy that I was talking to high school. I can't believe I still remember his name. His name is Joe, and Joe, he was talking to me about Naruto, and he was just saying like, well, Naruto may not be for everybody, but if you have the patience and get into Naruto, you'll end up liking it a little bit too. But I haven't got into it, and nor I had the patience to get around with Naruto, and so that was one of the things I said that you don't have to try to listen to everybody, but if you like this series, you know, it's a good way to enjoy it for sure too, even though you may not always appreciate the characters, not all of them as well, especially. But getting to titles like movies, so I did say a few things about just two animes, two or three animes I've said. So growing up, I did mention about Kindergarten Cop. So I like that movie.
Yeah. That's with Arnie.
Correct? Arnie, yes. Yeah, and I love my dad. There's a story, and actually, I will bring this as a side note coming in the podcast. When growing up, my dad always liked Arnold Schwarzenegger, and when I was young, like I would say about 10 or 11, he introduced me to the Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Yeah. Yeah, it was so cool just to
see. That is such a good film.
It is such a good film. I liked that movie too, and I was very, very happy with the with watching. I was young, and there was just so many movie titles back in the late 90s, early 2000s, which I enjoyed. And I think there was just a lot of rom-com movies. A lot of people always reference like American Pie.
True.
They've always bring that up, but when I grew up, I was watching National Lampoon, which I thought they had always had good films back then too. But and that's something right there is like those college films. I don't even think it's going to ever be made today because of the whole political correctness going on in the state side in the UK too.
Yeah.
And I think it's
a shame, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not gonna preach and tell anyone that they should be any certain way.
Yeah.
But I do think it is definitely a bit of a tragedy that we're starting to lose comedy, and we're losing the ability to sort of make fun of ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly.
At the risk of facing hatred from multiple people.
Exactly.
Like you say, there's so many of these films from back in the day that nowadays just would not be made.
It would not be made, no.
In a lot of senses, there's genuine reason for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things that can't be done that really aren't that big of an issue. And right. I feel like, without going too much and derailing the podcast.
Right, and that's true too, and I agree too.
Without trying to derail it too much, I feel like people are looking for something to be annoyed about.
Right, and I love these kind of those raunchy movies.
They're good fun.
What other films I could think of on top of my mind? Archie, do you remember growing up there was a comedy back then called Euro Trip?
It's not one I've heard of.
Oh my god, you've got to check it out. It's just it's an American movie.
Okay.
And pretty much it's these four college guys that they go and set their trip over to Europe, and it's so hilarious. So they go through they travel out to Europe, and they see the most craziest things they've never seen in America, which I thought it was just hilarious too. But you gotta check out Eurotrip. Eurotrip, I end up recommending to anybody if you're just in for a good comedy as well. That's something I like to recommend if you're into it too. Because I love that's the thing too. I love just jokes in general, like European jokes and stuff like that. What goes on too? Because you know sometimes I don't ever get the slang and what goes on or the jokes that goes in the other side, and then later on I end up finding out those jokes later on. It's like, oh, what do they mean and stuff like that too.
It's always like a little bit feeling a bit awkward, like, oh, I don't actually understand what they're meaning,
right.
When you realize after the fact, you can still laugh about it.
Exactly too. Like in fact, when I was younger, like my parents used to watch like Spanish comedy. Like you know, both my parents are from, they're both Cuban, so they would watch crazy comedies, like Latin comedies. It was something that they've always enjoyed laughing at too. But I think they've always hit the comedies real well in Spanish television as well. But I think to a point, like you just said about how sad things gone to the realm of comedy. I think that's the thing about American comedy movies is like, I think American comedians tried way too hard and they deliver, you know, as comedians, but they don't try to make themselves really funny nowadays too. I remember comedians at least they made the effort of making things very, very funny, you know.
And that was cool. The thing is, a lot of the times, the people who are getting annoyed about this don't realize that the comedians usually are making fun of themselves.
Does that exactly. Make sense? Yeah.
And it's just, well, if you want to talk about equality, what about the equality of the comedian making fun of themselves?
Yeah. Good point.
There you go. Double-edged sword.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fantastic. So definitely, Leon Legray's suggestions there. For anyone who is an anime fan or has not watched anime, to definitely check out some Bleach. I would also recommend it. The Soul Society arc is fantastic.
I will check it out, definitely.
For those who are of a slightly older age, Elfin Lied would be a good one. Maybe not if you're a little bit younger.
But, no.
But definitely a classic. Definitely a classic.
Yeah, and so new titles. I will say about new titles, and sorry to cut you off over here. So, but no, I'll mention on titles. Let's see. So recently, I've gone back into James Bond movies, like the old Sean Connery's, because my dad enjoyed the Bond movies when he was younger, and my dad grew up watching the spy films back in the 60s growing up. So he's always loved the British. This spy movies like 007, and I would say his favorites would be From Russia with Love. That was one of my dad's favorite film titles as well, and I've been starting to enjoy like the Connery era, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and then the current one, Daniel Craig, which I think he's excellent as Bond. I think they bring Bond to a very more serious light, which I think it's great what they did with the current Bond, which I loved and enjoyed now too. And
if you cross-reference some of the Craig films versus some of the Roger Moore films,
yes,
you can tell the Roger Moore films were much more silly,
yeah, and very campy.
Almost slapstick and campy humor, yes.
Yeah,
which is, you know, it does have its charm, and we do definitely still love it. I must say for myself, probably because of when I was growing up, but Pierce Brosnan will always be my number one Bond.
Nice. I loved Pierce Brosnan growing up as well too. I would say, don't know, no offense to Brosnan, but now when I'm going back to the old films, a lot of people, I think, never looked into this Bond. In fact, I think, in my point of view, I think Timothy Dalton was one of the most underrated Bonds, even though he did like two films.
Absolutely.
Underrated. On my point of view, I think if he would have had the chance to make a third film, but I think with the studio with studio issues that was going on in the early 90s, he would have, but he just lost interest. I remember reading something back then as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, really. It's almost, I feel like it's probably almost because he only made two films that people don't pay a lot of credence to him. But mm-hmm. he definitely was a great Bond.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of sad to take nothing away from George Lazenby. He made only one film, and people see him in a bigger light than Timothy, which is quite funny.
It is so funny too. But I think the filmography was done much better on the Living Daylights. I think with on the Timmy Dalton era than the filming of his Majesty's Secret Service. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Which the cameras were okay too. You'll end up seeing some action with the Lazenby that time that he was in. But you know, I tried to watch it too. But do I say it was my favorite? I wouldn't say so. But I appreciated what Lazenby did at that time as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, the Bond films are fantastic. I love pretty much all of them. So that's definitely another great suggestion for people to watch. I mean, actually, to go back to the previous conversation we're having about people being cancelled and losing humour.
Sure.
If you look at the character of James Bond, he is a bit of a womanizer.
Yes.
Which a lot of people try to almost stop people from enjoying those films because of that character having that in their repertoire, you could say.
Yeah.
The thing that people, I think a lot of people need to realize is that these films, these stories, this character, the mythos, was all written back in like the 30s and the 40s.
Yeah, and back then too.
It's a completely different era.
It was. The writer, Ian Fleming, that many people don't know. First of all, that was his portrayal of Bond. And he've always had that idea of what Bond wanted to be back then too. And in fact, just a side note right here, just not to go a little bit too side, but currently I'm reading Casino Royale, his old title, which I think it is excellent. The scene, even though the world of Casino Royale the book is different, it is quite different than the Casino Royale in the movie. But I definitely recommend anyone reading the book and how it was developed too. And if you read on some of the material, you can tell that there's always been Bond women on each novels too, and as well as each film as well too. And so you know how you definitely, anyone can understand what Bond was like too, as his character. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But no, that is fantastic. And some great little suggestions there for films, TV, and also some anime. Let's move on to sports, shall we?
Sure.
Are there any sports that you're a fan of?
Oh, I haven't watched sports in a very, very long time. Currently, I haven't got into the recent sports, what do you call it? Like I have the Olympics, like I haven't gotten to it too. Like I just couldn't watch the Olympics.
That's just completely fair enough. I do with a lot of the guests that I've had on, many of them just don't really, not that they don't like sports, but just don't really keep up with it.
Right. Right.
But would you say that maybe when you were younger, you were more of a fan?
Not a fan. I would say as someone that
you prefer to take part.
I'd like to take part of too. Yeah. I remember, during my early memory, I remember the big thing in Florida. Like, anyone that is listening internationally that may not know about baseball, baseball is a very big thing in the United States. I got into it because my dad mentioned about baseball. My aunt, she was a big New York Yankees fans. And by the way, people, anyone listening to US, no hate on the Mets, but you know, my aunt was always been a Yankees fan since the beginning. So yeah, but they've always had great teams in with the Yankees. So I do respect both New York Mets versus the Yankees. So they've both always played very well, which honestly, I think they're both great teams. When I was young, I would say when my first attention of a team would be the Marlins. The Marlins, it's great and all, and I think there was something about the Marlins that was pretty exciting to watch when I was a kid, and even back then there was just nothing. You know, that's the thing about games, was that games was something so that were supposed to be fun to enjoy and stuff like that too, and that was something for me that hit me right there too, and that was cool. But I don't think the charm of baseball nowadays too, it's just not hitting with everybody, and that's when I think that some of the things have changed with modern day sports, was that I think people try to take it way too serious than they have to. And that's okay, the thing today. And I think there hasn't been like any memorable rivals. And I think in current times, but I remember back then, I remember there was a rivalry between McGraw versus Sammy Sosa. And it was just a very memorable time back with baseball in the late 90s. Baseball was a very, very huge thing back then. And football wasn't mentioned. I remember one early time, previous thing in my life was football, not the football that you think of, but football with your hands. Yeah.
Were you ever a fan of the Dolphins?
The Dolphins? I wasn't too much of a fan of the Dolphins. But I remember, like, my dad's friend was always crazy about the Dolphins hoping to win the Super Bowl, and unfortunately they didn't win that Super Bowl back in the year 2000, so things wasn't so great with them too, but there's been other good ones.
I always whenever anyone speaks about the Miami Dolphins, I always think of Ace Ventura, Pet.
There you go. I love that too. Dad was a huge Jim Carrey fan as well. My dad loved many of the American comedians. So Ace Ventura was another one I loved and enjoyed too. And Marlon, like you said, like the Dolphins was something that was mentioned all the time too. So
yeah, they're quite a big part of the plot, really.
There you go.
All very interesting. So a little bit about baseball, a little bit about football. Were you ever a fan of things like hockey or anything else? Or was that the main things that you were?
Well, now you've mentioned it. For some time, I got into the whole hockey phase because my mom, I remember, funny story was that my mom ended up dating a Microsoft developer in Texas. Oh, wow. And he was very much into the whole hockey thing. And I remember I got into it around about late 2000s, you know, and it was cool because he talked to a little bit about hockey, and I remember going to my first game over there in Texas. Yeah, I remember it was in Dallas, Texas. I believe 2004, 2005, around that time though. Anyways, my memory is a little bit shaky because I do remember Dallas, Texas. I remember going to that state and I was like, wow, very impressed too.
Was that to see a Dallas Stars match?
Yeah. Yes. It was Dallas Stars versus Atlanta Thrashers. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool back then to see that though. Now, I believe that the Stars are still a team. However, the Atlanta Thrashers is no longer a team. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
Really, yeah. And I checked that. Like, it's a shame. Yeah, I believe it's something to do with the league changing things up with the states, and I guess just the demand wasn't there. Who knows? And I read it at one time. Like, I didn't knew that the Thrashers dissolved, which I thought I was like quite surprised to find out years later. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. No, it's always nice to hear about these stories, especially about like sporting events as well. But one of the things that you get at sporting events is music at halftime. So tell me about music. What would you say is your favorite genre?
Ooh, let's see here. Growing up,
we already know you listen to a little bit of death metal in the car on the way to Atlanta.
All the way to Atlanta too, right? So I first actually started with disco and R&B because of my parents, right? And
okay,
because Latin hip hop was very huge back in those days. Back in the days back in Florida, and today even in South Florida, they'll still play Latin radio stations, and it's just very commercialized nowadays as well. You'll when you flip on this FM stations, you'll hear nothing but Latin stations and all that too. And I did start around classic rock too, because my dad did enjoy bands like Styx, Bad Company, those bands, and then ZZ Top, which those are like old school,
legendary
too. Which even to mention too, I got to listen to ZZ Top recently again because of the death of Dusky Hill, which he just passed away like a day, I think the day of or the day after Jorgensen from the Slipknot drummer that passed away recently as well, which I thought,
it's very sad, isn't it?
It is. He was struggling a lot with his health situation. And he passed off with his sleep, which I thought, wow, it's such a shame for a young drummer at the age of 46 to go away.
Well, when you know, for me, it would have been when I was in the equivalent of elementary school, early middle school, was really getting into Slipknot in those days. And, you know, at the beginning, in those years, you know, 2007, 2006, 7, 8, Joey Jordison was just so good at what he did.
Yeah, incredible band.
Drummer. Yeah, Slipknot on a whole, brilliant.
Absolutely. Very brilliant, yeah. And even though what fans may say about what with Slipknot, with the current era, but I think that's the thing with bands is that bands come and go, and that's one of the things about it right there too. I think a lot of fans who I think recently, like a year before his death, was that when they dropped Jory Jorgensen, because I think the mates knew what was going on with his health issues and stuff like that. I think a lot of fans were really upset like a year prior to his health, and they didn't want him back in because of that too. But I could see why people got mad of it too. But that's the thing with people, is like, you don't understand what goes on in the eternal, you know, what goes on internally with bands. But I think in good or bad, how people can see that, I think the whole issue, I think it was kind of a good call what the band saw with Jorgensen. And you know, taking a side, but I have to agree on some part right there. If they knew what he was going through, I guess some things were best to be let go of for sure too, when it comes to it too. But overall, I think the band is, like you said, it's great too. Let's see. But going back right there, I did start, like, it's like I said, R&B, disco, because of my parents, like I mentioned. But I didn't get into rock music throughout the when I moved to Georgia. The first thing I tuned in my radio station was a rock station in Georgia. And Georgia had tons of rock radio back then too, and that was still alive and kicking. And the first tune I remembered was dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. The Enter Sandman.
Oh yes. Do 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 do. Absolutely brilliant. Oh my goodness.
It was brilliant. And then at the same time, it was 2002. After
Metallica, just another fantastic band.
It's a very good band. I enjoyed listening to Metallica, and then after listening to many stations, I remember another band that actually I've started to enjoy that time was Alice in Chains. Big fan.
Yeah, I know.
Loved it. In fact, before the pandemic, I would say about 3 years before the pandemic, Alice in Chains was my very first live concert. Live concert of Alice of Chains. I got to see them live that time.
Oh,
it was
super.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Oh my god, it was such an amazing show. I think it was I don't know what happened, why I didn't get to see Alice in Chains early enough too. And what got me to seeing live event shows was early in 2000. I would say a year after I graduated high school. when I graduated high school, I got into live music, and I enjoyed the living lights of live music because it got me pumped to seeing like live concert events too. And in fact, I think a lot of people didn't even knew Alice in Chains was going to end up reuniting back then too. And their album, Black Gives Way to Blue, was my very favorite album from them too. And this day, I end up going to Spotify and listen to Black.
Just reminiscing and just immersing yourself in that amazing music.
It is. That album alone was just crazy.
It's nice, actually. You speak about going to see live music. And yes, that's definitely something that I would recommend to other people as well. Because I've only been to a live music gig twice in my life so far.
Did you?
I went once to see legendary guitarist Joe Satriani.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God.
So, he also had Uli Roth on stage with him, which was really cool. Thanks to my dad, I'm a big fan of instrumental music, and especially Joe Satriani is just
me too, fantastic. Dude, when did you see Joe Satriani? Tell me.
This would have been 2 years ago now, 2-3 years ago.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, I got to see Joe Satriani in 2010. Yes, 2010 in Clearwater, Florida. Like just like you, when I first got into live music. I got into instrumental music. I got into everything with hard rock, heavy metal, hip hop, and I just got into everything too. Like one thing I would end up playing was like hard rock, which was fine for my dad when I used to go to car trips with my dad back and forth. But the one thing he hated was hip hop music. Like that's something I will end up listening to by myself. So yeah, right, yeah,
okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was not a fan of that too, in the language, which I agree. There's not a lot of good things coming out from hip hop too, even like early hip hop. I would agree with that too. Fine, that's fair enough as well. But my dad used to like listening to like Metallica, because he always loved the drum parts over there and the amazing stuff that comes out from that group too, because he was like, whoa, that's incredible. I can't believe that too. Yeah, I think my dad when he saw me, I remember he thought, man, yeah, this is very, very hip. I love this too. So he thought I was just very cool listening to like the heavy metal and stuff like that too. He didn't like everything from that type of genre, but I've got to appreciate a lot of the things that he got to listen to. I remember like by the way, Archie's, do you remember record stores back then?
Yep.
Okay. Because I remember record stores like back in the day. I didn't get to go to too many independent ones, but commercial ones I remember. There was a store called Borders back then too, and then FY.
Borders, okay.
Then FYE as well, while they were still around at that time, and very commercial stores, but they're not around anymore too, because now everything's going all digital because of the change in the atmosphere of streaming and downloads, which is still continuing to this day. And then the other band, I would say that hit me the most, and that got me into progressive metal. It was people may not remember this band, and I just mentioned it to you live. It was called Queensryche, Queensryche, and I've loved the band. And one of the first albums I purchased from them was Operation Mindcrime. It was fantastic. The album was great. The concept album was brilliant. In fact, it was just so good. Like it tells you a story. It's basically like a Pink Floyd album, like how it tells a story, right? When you listen to the album, it's incredible. The guitars, the bass, the drums, and everything that fit well into that album too. So, and I think when I heard the album or heard the band the first time, it was from cable television called That Metal Show, and it would talk about tons of bands that come up as guests. And I remember hearing the singer called Jeff Tate for the first time back in 2008 when he released the album called The American Soldier back then too. And
that must have been so cool.
It was. And I thought he was really cool back then. And I got to pick up American Soldier, and then along with the concept album, Operation Mindcrime. And then I got to listen to the back catalog, like Empires, The Promised Land, then their earlier albums, the second one, Rage for Order, and then the first album, Warning, which they're all fantastic albums too from their early days, which I think very, very nice. But I think my recommendation to everybody, I think if I had to recommend a Queensryche album, would be Rage for Order, which would, it's a good one too, as always. One of my favorite song on there is London. Take a listen when you can, Archie, if you haven't.
No, I definitely will. To kind of break the reality of a live recording, if you look at the DM I just sent you, that is just to show the picture. As well as Uli Roth, there was also John Petrucci in the as well.
I've seen Dream Theater 3 times.
Yeah. I can't even explain it. It's to be in a room with 3 of the greatest guitarists ever.
Oh.
And to just hear them just absolutely go all out. The noise, I can't even describe it. It was like a different sense altogether than sound, which is just amazing. The other group that I saw live, which you may know, you may not know, was The Cult.
The Cult. Oh, I've heard about The Cult, yes. Wow, The Cult. That's different. Yeah, I didn't see them.
Just do a little bit of live Googling. Such songs as She Sells Sanctuary, Love Removal Machine, Rain, Fire Woman.
Okay, that's like the common played song on that radio. Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah, The Cult. Yeah. That nobody talks about The Cult anymore too. Holy cow, that's quite of a rarity too.
And it was really quite amazing, really, because the singer for The Cult, Ian Ashbury, let me find out.
Sure.
He is 60 years old, nearly.
And, oh, my goodness.
And he was on stage. This is 2 years ago now. He was on stage, and he sang like he was still in his 20s. It was absolutely fantastic. It was amazing.
Oh, but that's incredible.
Definitely, anyone, if you get the chance, during COVID or not, because I know there are a lot of safety things in the way, but there are also a lot of things that people are doing to make things more safe. But definitely go and see, go to a gig, go to a live music performance if you can. I've got a little question for you.
Yeah.
Which I usually do on the music section for all my guests. But imagine that you've been transported to a desert island, and all you have with you is enough food and drink to survive for a year.
Okay.
And a record player that doesn't need any power source. You're allowed to pick 3 records, vinyls, tapes, CDs. What 3 albums are you bringing?
Oh, goodness. What 3 albums I'll bring? Well, I'm a prog metal, prog rock fan. If I had to bring any 3 vinyls, that's pretty much close to me. I'd say Dream Theater Metropolitan 2. And then Pink Floyd, I'll bring that with me as well. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. And then the other one, I would say Rush, Hemispheres.
3 amazing choices.
Yes. There.
And to sort of, I'm actually quite sad we're at the end, because I've really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah.
But
it was awesome.
But to close out the end of the podcast, what's in the future for you, Luke? For Leon LeGray, are your plans for streaming and podcasting throughout the rest of the year and into 2022?
Great question. I would say my mind is still focused on getting myself into affiliates. As many may not know, I've been working on affiliate as an affiliate, trying to get into affiliate for now 6 years now. And right. I want to get that accomplished right there, because I think my ideas will be very great to hear people come into my channel and hear my ideas and just watch me too. And I my goal is to pretty much work on myself, get myself going for streaming. As far as streaming goes, that's one I want to keep up with around during 2021 through 2022. That's another. That's one thing I want to do and see if I can get that accomplished, because I know being an affiliate is really tough nowadays too, because you really have to have people come over and all that too. Because I've completed three things, except three average viewers is having to get people to watch you.
The average viewers is definitely the hardest one to get.
It's tough. I tried that, and that's one thing is that if you don't be any like entertaining well, to a point that if you can't become very entertaining or creative on the channel, you know, I think you're gonna end up being left out. That's one of the things that's very tough too. And I've said this to people, it's like, you know, I try not to focus on the numbers game, because at this point it is a numbers game. For one, you have to be very consistent and that's another thing is being very, very consistent with your channel and what's your schedule, how you're going to set your schedule each week as well. So that's challenging. Now, second, so I'll away from streaming a bit too. Overall, I do want to study on keep myself into studying consistently. In fact, language learning was something I wanted to do. I do want to keep up with German. German is something I want to keep up with, because I remember studying German before going to TwitchCon 2019, which was in Berlin, for the first European TwitchCon, which I remember going there one year. It was fun. I loved Berlin as a city, but again, was my German perfect? Not really. I will say that quite honestly too. Something I would like to keep up with language.
That's really cool though, that you did actually have the chance to go to a TwitchCon, because mm-hmm. one of the things that I found is during the most recent 2020 TwitchCon,
yeah,
which was going to be in Amsterdam, mm-hmm. I was signed up to go, and then obviously COVID happened. So
yeah,
sadly and, that wasn't possible to happen. But the fact that you were able to go to Berlin. And, you know, it's very impressive, and it's very cool that you want to learn the language more so you'd be able to communicate better. I think that's a really cool thing.
I remember there was a thing with when I was in standing in line over at the beer garden in over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was fun, because I got to see the beer garden over there, and one of the people, I was just saying hello to them, and I would figure he'd speak the second language, one of the guys that was in line with, right? But you know, I find out that yes, there's people that do speak it, speak English as their second language in Germany. I find out that not everybody does speak it really English really well, unfortunately. So, and of course, that's, I think language is very useful when it comes to in mine especially. Because I've, for instance, like I remember a story my aunt was telling me is that when she came to the United States for the very first time, she said, "Why do I need English for? You know, I lived in Cuba for most of my life. Why would I ever want to speak in another language?" Well, when communists hit Cuba, guess what, Arch? She had to learn English. So, that's what had happened as well. So definitely having a second language is really, really good and really important if you're traveling elsewhere too. Especially even if you think that if you are expecting to go through a first world country like the UK, Ireland, or anything else, who knows, probably a second language would be good for everybody too. Because that's education is really, in my view, education is really, really important, especially because it so going back with the story with the German guy, he didn't spoke any English, and I had a translator in my phone, but that was still tough as well. And funny enough, I bumped into again while I was sitting down into a part right there, just having my pretzel with my beer, And then also the little brother, he had a little brother like the age of 9, and the guy I was talking to, he's like 33 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was translating translating what he was saying back and forth, which was quite fun and very neat too. Which I thought was amazing. yeah very very sweet people, which I liked about the German people, that they're just amazing and sweet. And I'd love to, that's one thing, Archie, is like, I love, as an American, I love to go back to many parts of Europe I haven't gone to. I know you said that you tried to go to Amsterdam, right? And couldn't happen because of COVID. And to me, if I were to go to another country, probably Dutch would be a good thing to keep up with, especially. So
absolutely.
Yeah, because that's one thing, is that if these conventions are getting very, very popular, I don't know how that's going to go with events and travel, because I know it's going to be very, very difficult. And I've always said that traveling now is going to end up becoming very, very difficult now, because I'm keeping in touch with a friend of mine, an American friend. I've been friends for now almost a decade now, right? And and the thing is, he's now currently in Switzerland, and he was saying that to me, is that traveling is very difficult now. And if you want to go to the border of each country now, you have to go through a COVID test, and you have to make sure you're negative in these parts of Europe now, which is very difficult. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe how insanely difficult it's that just to travel.
Yeah, it is very sad, you know, not only just because of what COVID has been doing to many people, but also just the way it stops everyone from being able to travel.
Yeah,
and exactly. that's why, like you say, when you get the chance to, it would be very nice to be able to speak the language, at least, if not fluently, somewhat okay. Because language is beautiful, and it's nice be able to have conversations with people.
Oh, love that! Yeah.
So, Leon Legray, podcaster, Twitch streamer extraordinaire, what would you say is your goal for right now? Mm-hmm. For the 9th of August 2022, what would you like to see about yourself within 1 year?
For 1 year, let's see. Currently, I do, obviously, I've always said that I want to get my podcast growth, have a good success with my podcast. I mean, obviously, everyone wants to hear and become very, very successful. For me, if you want to go personal, I would say, if you want to grow as a person, learn about patience. That's one. Don't expect to grow so fast. And because if you ever think that you're going to end up making it fast on the podcast, on this podcast drive right here, you got to make sure that how you're being successful in your podcast, you got to make sure that you be consistent, you learn how to be patient, and you just make sure that you just get yourself out there, you know, just tell people that I'm a podcaster, I'm a blogger or whatever, you know. That's one thing, is make sure you're reachable right there too, because that's the thing about talking to people, is that you've just got to learn how to reach out. That's one of the things about that too, because otherwise people would never hear your shows. In fact, a year ago during out the COVID, I remember my friend for 8 years, I believe now. And he listened to my podcast for the very first time, and he loved it. And he said that he loves the topic and the subjects on it too. And one of the shows he said that he loved was one of the episodes that I've talked about, a motherboard, on one of the episodes too. I was like, oh, that's great. Great right there too. So he gave me his feedback especially too. And I would say for all your listeners, just to put a footnote right there, is, you know, podcasting isn't easy. Now, unless if you were, let's say a company reaches up to you, right? And for a sponsorship or affiliate, I think that's great. You know, I've had an affiliate, a company reach out to me for an affiliate. And so I've joined them as a partner. And so far, it hasn't been too bad. And so there's so many people out there reaching out to you too. But as a podcaster yourself, you just got to learn how to reach out to people as well. And just make sure that you just
all about
go on.
It's all about networking. You need to get your name out there. Use social media as you can. Even if you know you're going to reach out to someone that you know, and they're not going to like what you what you're going to have to say and what your content is, just
write nothing
still and just say, "Can you send it to a friend?"
Yeah,
it's getting that network of people there, and it's not easy at all. It's definitely not easy. But that's one of the things that I think is amazing about you, in the sense of you're not too worried about the numbers, although you know that is the end goal for everyone. If anyone was to say that they weren't trying to become somewhat successful in what they're doing, then they'd be lying. But it's not about trying to get everything at once. It's about trying to enjoy it, enjoy the journey. Usually the journey there is way more impactful than once you've reached the destination.
Exactly. That's spot on right there too. And so coming up next year, if there was anything important, I would say. And for me, I live, like I've mentioned to you early on in the very beginning of the show, is that I lived in Georgia for now close to 20 years. And I am ready to make a move in my life for the first time now, because there was so much things impacting me for the first time, especially things happening with especially family is now already into this point in my mind right now. And I would say making the move will be really good, because I am looking into new housing, and I definitely want to make a move. In fact, if I had to move elsewhere, it would be going back, moving to Central Florida, like Tampa. Something I like Tampa when I was young. I remember my dad lived in Tampa when he moved there temporarily for about, I would say, about 2 or 3 years over there. And I enjoyed the places, and the scene in Tampa is very lively, I think. Very, very lively. I just think the gaming scene is pretty amazing over there, believe it or not. So that's something I love to just make a move right now too.
So hopefully by this time next year, you'll be in sunny Tampa, Florida.
Yes.
That'd be very cool. And for anyone who does want to, you know, keep in touch with Leon LeGray, I'll be leaving all of the social links in the description. There'll be links to Leon's Twitch channel, Leon's podcasts. And if there's any further social media, Leon, that you would wish me to put down there in the description, I implore everyone to please go check him out.
Sure.
Leon, you've been an absolutely lovely guest.
Hey, no problem.
Hope you enjoyed your time.
I did. Thank you so much. It was very fun talking to you. I really liked the conversation that we had today too. So hopefully maybe one of these days, who knows, probably down the line, we can do this again.
this will not be the last time. Trust me.
Good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much once again, everyone, for listening. This has been Archers B. Cray of the B. Cray Podcast. And goodbye.
Take care. Bye. This